Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
Good morning, Kathy. You are on the voice disguiser.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
So your boy's going off to college.
Yes.
Do you want to say what school?
No, I'll just say it's a private, non-traditional school.
Okay.
Okay.
Good for you.
So where do you want me to start?
Wherever you think the story starts. I mean, he's obviously, he is seeing a girl that's a junior at his high school right now, right?
Actually, they're both seniors.
Both seniors. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you just go ahead, take it from there.
Well, the biggest concern with me is obviously, it's obvious to me and his dad and his family members, other family members, that this is very serious because of the fact that my son is usually very flirtatious. He's, you know, kind of like a, you know, wandering eye and things like that. And for the first time, he does not flirt. He doesn't talk about other girls. He's just not, you know, out there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big concern to me. The other thing is that she is very clingy, extremely needy, very clingy. They're in high school. And I'm like, okay, no. So now we found out he's just gotten accepted to his number one college choice, which is a very, very prestigious school. And I'm like over it. I'm like, dump her now.
Well, is it because you want him to see other girls when he goes to college, or because you want him to focus on school, or like, what's, do you not like her? What, you know, what's this?
I don't like the fact that she's so clingy and that before we got accepted, he was kind of iffy, like, okay, well, you know, maybe I won't. So it was I think they were planning, okay, we're going to go to the same school and this, and this, that. So now I think she may be a little bit like, okay, he's leaving me, because she can't go to the same school that he's going to, because it's a specialty school.
Mm-hmm. Kind of,
it's an art and design school.
Okay.
And she's obviously not majoring in the same thing that he's majoring in. So she can't go to that school.
Okay.
And it's, you know, away. It's not in the same area. So I'm just like, you know, she could do something to kind of trap him. She could do something to kind of keep him, or to make it possible for them to be together.
How far away are these campuses?
About 5 hours.
From each other?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So road trip distance.
Yes.
Good morning, John. You're on Q100.
Lady, you just need to just back up, let your son live his own life. If he's old enough to go away to college, he's old enough to make his own mistakes or his own decisions. 9 out of 10 times, long-distance relationships don't work anyway. But if they love each other, if they want to be together, back up and let him live his life.
I sort of agree with that. You know, like, this thing's going to work itself out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
These just don't last, you know? And I think it's the kind of thing that if you make an issue out of it, he's going to be more attracted to her.
And he's going to make sure it lasts.
And I think sometimes for college freshmen, they sort of want that security blanket. Everything else in their life is changing. They're, first of all, not living with mom and dad anymore. They're all, you know, completely independent. School is completely different. I mean, you don't have to go to class. What? You know what I mean? Like, just the concept of their entire environment changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times they will hold on to those boyfriends or girlfriends as the one constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
So even though where they live is different, their whole schedule is different, their whole life is different, they still can pick up the phone and be on the phone with that same person that they were in love with in high school. And like Bert and Melissa said, it's eventually going to fade, most likely. You know, the majority of those relationships will, you know, drift apart. But I think right at first, especially that first semester, it's like they're like hanging on for dear life to something that's a constant.
Because they love each other.
Hey, Jessica, hello, you're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks. You're on with Kathy.
Okay. Hi, Kathy. I just really honestly, I know that this situation is not for every, you know, teenage couple, but I'm about to marry my high school sweetheart. So number one, my opinion's a little skewed, but also from the academic side, you know, your first year of college kind of sets the tone for getting all your credits, you know, your important stuff out of the way. And honestly, flirting with every girl that he sees and going to parties and skipping class, you know, that's really not the route he needs to take. So maybe if you want to look at it this way, having a constant girlfriend will kind of keep him out of trouble and keep him on track. Because I know that, you know, my freshman year of college, I was scared to death, but because I did the right things, you know, even now I'm about to graduate from college and, you know, I kind of went on the right track. And yes, I did have, you know, that same person in my life. So I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule out the relationship at all. Eventually, you know, it will have their bumps. And you, at that point, you just need to be supportive for your son and just be there at that point. But as far as breaking them up, you know, no, that's not, I don't really think that's the right thing to do.
And I can understand if she was still in high school while he was a freshman in college. I could understand your concern about her being clingy and her maybe doing something to trap him or whatever. But she's having the same journey he is, where they're going to be on a new campus as mm-hmm. freshmen, meeting completely new yeah. group of people. So I think the chances that this will work itself out in your favor will, you know, are high.
Yeah, that's I think
a good, you don't need to break point. Them up before they go, because yeah. they'll break themselves up yes. once they get there.
I think if you looked at statistics and you had 100 couples in the exact same situation that your son is in, I would say 98% of those couples are broken up by their sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. And totally. Melissa's right. If she were still in high school, because my brother did this, my brother and his high school girlfriend stayed together, like I think his first semester of his freshman year at Florida State, and she was still in high school. So my parents' concern was that he was going home all the time mm-hmm. to see her and was like sort of, you know, leaving campus and leaving that college life right. and going back to the high school life. And Melissa's right. That's not going to happen with these two.
Right.
It's, yeah.
And even if they do make it, like the thing is, there, I always think with parents, there's a danger that you shouldn't, I mean, I hate to use the word metal, but you shouldn't be so involved, because what if he ends up marrying this girl? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is your daughter. I mean, seriously, it's got to be your son's choice on who he marries, not his mother's choice.
Oh, come on.
It's so early.
It's always the mother's choice. I'm just kidding.
I totally agree. I mean, I see the last caller. I definitely like that point that she made, that maybe this will, you know, one steady person will keep him grounded and keep him out and everything. But I just think she's way, 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 way too clingy. She's too needy. He is very outgoing. He's very, and I think she's got insecurities that I don't want him dealing with.
You're
I'm telling
one-sided.
You right now, if you're saying also that he's got a wandering eye and he's usually pretty flirtatious with girls, you haven't even seen how flirtatious he is until he's on campus by himself, surrounded by women that he's meeting for the first time. This relationship is never going to last. And the more you meddle, the more he's going to want to stick it out with this
yeah,
girl.
And based on what you told us, he'll be involved in a threesome by the end of orientation week.
If that'll make you feel any better. Hey, Eric, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hello?
Yo.
Beep.
Yeah, I was in a situation just like this when I was this young man's age. And I fought my parents the entire way. And it pushed me towards this woman or this young girl. And she was the wrong thing for my life. And it took me years to figure that out, that she was the wrong thing, because I was so concerned about fighting my parents. I think that's the natural order of things. You're mm-hmm. gonna fight your parents, and you're gonna disagree with them because you're trying to make your own way and be your own person. And if mom and dad actually accepts her into the thing and they're very tactful about it and they ask the open-ended questions, he will in time figure out, okay, this girl is, she's driving me crazy. She's needy. She's always wanting this and wants to know where I'm at. And when basically he figures out that she's got him on lockdown and he's out there 18, 19 years old, wanting to, like you said, you know, flirtatious eye and that kind of thing, he's going to grow very tired of that very quickly.
Most are calling up, Kathy, and saying the same thing. So we're sort of beating a dead horse here. But
okay.
the more you meddle, the more chance you have of them sticking it out together. Let this thing run its course. And if you look at statistics, chances are pretty good. They're going to be busted up within a couple of months anyway.
Right. And I also want to say, because I said earlier you're one-sided because the girl is needy and the girl is this and the girl is this. And, you know, as if your son is not, you know, kind of needing her as well, because like you said, he's not flirting anymore and he does not have a wandering eye because he's obviously in love with his girlfriend. But you're assuming that when she goes to college, she's going to be the same way. You know, like she may be needy because of her situation at home. I don't know. But then when she gets off to college and she has freedom, she may not want your son anymore.
Yeah, you can't control it.
That's a good point.
So, you know, I wouldn't be so hard on her. I would just try to relax and just let it take its course.
Let it happen. All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
You too.
This really is a classic example of how, like, you can really force somebody into being more attracted to somebody than they really are just out of rebellion.
And you think it's, like, her last months of hanging on to control in her son's life? Like, she's also struggling with her own issues of her son going to college.
She's being needy
in his own life and, you know, all this. Like, I think this is part of her last little bit of not wanting to let go.
Under Burt Law, where nobody is allowed to get married until the age of 28,
right?
We don't even have to take a call like that.
Exactly.
Because they're not holding out for 10 years, and you can only date in 6-week cycles anyway.
Exactly. I read your whole thing in Jezebel. It's really good.
Thanks.
You're kind of good at that.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I should be running for president, period. Period. Just on that agenda alone.
For sure.
It eliminates that question. That is my slogan. Burt for president.
For sure.
For sure. The Burt Show. There's a story out this morning about George Clooney that I focused on that I want to ask you guys a question about. And it has everything to do with anonymous dating tips. So Clooney is going out with this girl, Sarah Larson. And some of the details of her party life are starting to come out very publicly now. Like when you date George Clooney, people are going to be curious who this is.
Absolutely.
And she seems to be like this real girls gone wild clubbing. Just a wild child.
Well, she's from Las Vegas. She worked as a cocktail waitress in Las Vegas. Everybody is sort of calling her a stripper, but she says she wasn't a stripper, that she was just a cocktail waitress. But in Vegas, that's kind of blurred, right?
Yeah, and I think so. And the pictures last week of her partying, and she was half naked at some of these parties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just in some really embarrassing, intoxicating situations. I just think that the rumors are out there now, you know, about her, and people are curious.
Right.
So as it goes this weekend, George Clooney gets an anonymous dating tip from somebody that is left on his voicemail.
Huh.
And the way he describes it, it's a middle-aged man, who's heard saying, dude, your friends asked me to give you a message. Dump the biatch.
Dead bitch.
before you're sorry. And then they hang up. The guy hangs up.
Mm-hmm.
So Clooney's kind of infuriated about the whole thing. And apparently he has like a police officer driver that takes him everywhere that has some know-how in how to get online and search certain files and can track where the phone call initially came from.
Okay.
It led to a couple of dead ends this weekend. They couldn't find out who left the message. But I'm curious if there's anybody listening that has ever received or has been the person that has made the anonymous dating tip. So here's a scenario I sort of have in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Jeff and me and Andy and Haas, we're all hanging out. We're all good friends, right? And we've got a friend named Justin. And Justin starts seeing this girl that we just don't like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like her at all. She's a pain in the butt. I mean, and he's a changed man. He's a total changed man. So we come up with some kind of way to tell him that we don't all agree with who he's dating without actually one of us telling him that we don't like the girl that he's dating.
So we just get a friend that he doesn't know. Sounds like a brilliant idea after about a 6-pack and a half.
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, so you're saying it would have to be calculated from the friends
could
to
be.
Send the message.
Could be.
Because I have a friend who was out on a date with a guy, and one of his exes approached. And it was not
actually not one of his exes, but one of his ex's friends that approached and said, hey, I just want you to know that my friend dated that guy that you're having dinner with right now. Like when he had gotten up to go to the bathroom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that dated that guy that you're sitting at the table with right now, and he's a total jerk and blah, 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 blah. But you're saying it would have to be orchestrated from the person's friend.
Well, I got an email when I first started dating Katie that ended up, I mean, who knows if it was just a listener or if it was one of Katie's exes is what I assumed, that was warning me about her. You know, like, I mean, we hadn't been out on one date, and then they sent me this, it was an anonymous email, you know, just warning me or whatever. So, I mean,
you're a little easier. You're a little bit more accessible than George Clooney. Yeah,
I'm definitely accessible, but I mean, it was anonymous.
This had to be one of his friends, right? Because how else would you get George Clooney's phone number? Right. So one of the friends was bitching to somebody.
Unless it was her, somebody in her camp.
Unless somebody in her camp, yeah.
I think it's somebody in her camp.
Any of that come true?
No.
None of it?
No.
Not even vaguely?
Sorry, Jeff. I know you sent me that email.
I would hold on to it for a while because some of it, I'm like John Edwards, the guy who talked to the dead. You just keep thinking about it.
Hey, Nicole, you're on Q100. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, now, were you the one that received the anonymous dating tip or did you give it?
I gave it.
Okay.
Okay.
It was my ex-husband, and he was dating this really sweet girl that I knew, and I just called her and I said, you know, if you don't ditch him, then something, you're just going to end up horrible because he ditched me with 2 kids. And now, 4 years later, she's ditched with 2 kids and they don't have a daddy.
She should have listened to you. This one's not so anonymous.
But that would have probably, at the time, fueled her fire.
Right.
There she goes.
Right.
You do not call her anonymous, Bert.
People don't like to say goodbye to us this morning.
Cool.
Daryl hung up on us.
Dude, I called the Bert Show and he called me anonymous.
Click.
Who does he think he is?
You shouldn't date him.
Yeah.
Hey, Misty, you're on Q100.
He's anonymous.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Okay, the anonymous dating tip. Did you leave it or did you get it?
No, I gave it. This was about 7 years ago, and I had dated the guy in high school, like 5 or 4. And we were all hanging at my house. There was a little party, and I was in my bedroom getting ready, and he came into the bedroom. And he tried to, you know, bust a move.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, you get out right now. Because the girl's name was Betsy, and we were really good friends. Get out. I don't go back for sloppy seconds. So we were outside, and he actually went down there and told her that I hit on him. And that we were in a room with about 10 people at this point. And I got up in front of everybody and went into gross detail. And she flipped out and took his side. But from then on, I didn't keep any of his secrets. Like, anybody that came up and asked, I laid the whole story down because it was disgusting.
See, you don't, guys don't do that. We hit something. We put a fist through a wall. That's what we did.
It's done.
Yeah. Hey, Tiffany.
Yes.
Hi.
Okay, well, me and my ex went to Walmart one day, and we came out, and there was a note left, like, on my windshield wiper.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened it, read it, and it was a girl's handwriting, and she said that I needed to date, let's call him Bobby, that I needed to dump Bobby because he was a cheater. Well, he started pitching a fit and turning it around on me, saying that one of my girlfriends must have left it, saying, like, I need to, you know, open my guilty conscience that I cheat on him. Well, like a week later, we broke up. Come to find out, he was put in jail for beating his next girlfriend.
Oh.
And I still, to this day, never found out who left me the note.
No kidding.
You want to send him a thank you?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling. Jenny, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Hey, okay. So this guy was hitting on my roommate, like just sending her text messages, asking her to come over and whatnot. And so his girlfriend was my friend on Facebook, and there's an application called an honesty box. So I just left a message in her honesty box saying you should go through your boyfriend's text messages. And she did, and they, you know, ended up breaking up. I guess she found the text messages.
And what did all the texts say?
It was just like, you know, I think you should come over tonight and things like that.
Oof. Yeah, you know, now with the internet and Facebook and MySpace and all that, it changes the game completely.
And the honesty box.
But all of these are coming true, you know? Like, some of these anonymous tips are coming true, so maybe George Clooney will regret not leaving her.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you will, too.
Hey, Susan.
Just saying.
Susan, what's up?
Hi. I was dating my girlfriend. We had just started dating, and she comes to me one day, and she's like, I know you're seeing somebody else. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, you know? It turns out, I'm assuming it's one of my friends because they had a lot of details about me. Somebody got on and created a fake MySpace and told her that I was seeing somebody else and sleeping around, and of course none of it was true, but it was quite sneaky.
What's the motivation on that? Why is somebody motivated?
Oh, they wanted the girlfriend.
Still wanted you?
I think it was one of my friends that kind of wanted to date me at the time.
Wanted to date you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was a MySpace profile. There was no information on it, no pictures, no nothing. It had just been created that day. And they told her, I just wanted to let you know, she's not being faithful. She doesn't even really like you.
Jacked up.
It's pretty messed up.
David, you're up.
Hey, about last October, I had been dating this girl for 4 years, and she's a teacher in Dunwoody, and we were getting engaged, and I got a cell phone call I wasn't able to get to, and I picked up my message, and it was from her cell phone, my girlfriend's cell phone, and it said, hi, I've got Suzanne in my office right now, and I've advised her to start dating anybody at this time, and I haven't heard from her since October.
Wait, back up.
Wait,
here?
Say that again?
I lost something here in the translation.
Yeah, well, I got a phone call on my cell phone,
yep.
And it was from my girlfriend's cell phone, but when I wasn't able to get to it, but when I got to pick up the message, it says, I've got Suzanne in my office right now, and I've advised her to stop dating, and I haven't heard from her since October, that period of time, and we've been dating for 4 years, and we're going to get engaged, and I haven't heard a thing, haven't talked to her or anything, and 3 days later, she was on Match.com.
So she had somebody pose as her boss saying, just...
Or her psychiatrist or whatever it is. I don't have any idea, but that was the weirdest thing I'd ever had to happen.
So the call came in, you couldn't pick it up, and it went to voicemail.
Right.
And you haven't heard from her? Have you called? You obviously have called.
Yeah, but she wouldn't return my calls. I haven't heard anything. And I mean, this was 2 days before my birthday, even.
After 4 years?
Wow. After 4 years.
Whoa. We might be able to one-up that one. Hey, Mike, you're on Q100.
Yeah, I was... dating a girl. I've been dating her for about a year. It was after I got divorced from my first wife, and a guy called me. I don't know who he was. Told me I needed to get down to a hotel, the Best Western on the other side of Macon.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you need to get down there. The girl you're dating's down. I said, no, she's not. She called me and told me that she was at a funeral. Her uncle had passed away.
Oh, no.
So he said, no, you need to get down there. I said, who is this? He said, don't worry about it. Just get there. And they're in room 247.
Oh,
and
wow.
I remember the room.
Wow.
So I get down there, and I knock on the door on the hotel room, and one of my best friends opens the door, and she's in the background in a complete state of disrobed.
No.
And I look dead square at him, and I said, you're taking her to the funeral?
And wow.
Said,
no, you did
he
not.
Said, he said, what funeral? I said, well, it's about to be yours. And he started backpedaling, and he said, she told me y'all broke up. She said y'all broke up. I said, no.
Did you
ever pay for the room?
Oh.
Did you ever
she
piecemeal
paid for the room with my money that I sent her down to the funeral?
Oh.
Did you ever figure out who it was that made that call to you?
Nope. To this day, I do not know.
Wow.
Do you have any idea who you think it is?
Yeah, I have a real good idea. It was the boy's brother.
So, if you ever have any interaction with him, are you like, you maybe buy
well,
him?
I had interaction with him that day.
So maybe buy him like one extra beer if you're out with him, or like take care, you know.
You just had that look in your eye, like I know and you know, but we can never say, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I called him and I asked him about it. He said, I didn't do that.
Uh-huh.
With that, you know, that yeah, I did it, but I'm not going to admit to it, boy.
Right,
yeah.
No, I know exactly the one
and
you're
I
talking
just,
about.
I looked dead square at him. I said, well, if you didn't do it, let's go get dinner. And I took him out to a good dinner and we just kind of hung out.
Unreal.
That's
wow.
Cool.
Thanks for calling.
So, one last one.
I wonder if he broke up with her.
Yeah. On this show, anything's possible.
I'm trying to work around that.
Hey, Ryan, I just have a couple of seconds here. Go for it.
All right, yeah. I was one of the ones who got the anonymous tip.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a text message from this guy saying, hey, your girlfriend's cheating on you. I text back, well, how do you know? He sent me a video clip of him with my girlfriend at that time.
Oh.
Nauseating. Dang. Make you throw up.
Oh, yeah.
You never found out who this guy was?
Oh, no, I did a week later. It was my best friend.
Oh, no, man.
The Burt Show.
All right, I want to try something a little bit randomly here. I'm not even sure we're going to get any calls. But teachers have to be in the car at a specific time, and they've got to be at school at a specific time. So I figure they're listening right now. And I wanted to bring this up last week, and I just forgot. I'm not even sure we're going to get a call on this.
Okay.
But there was a story in the news last week of a, like, five-year-old for his show-and-tell item bringing to school a dead hamster. Like, I'm not sure that the hamster was dead when it... when he put it in the box, if the hamster died while it was in the shoebox. But I saw online last week, too, when the story was posted, that there were other posts from teachers saying, if you think that's bad, how about this inappropriate show-and-tell items? And there was a long list of show-and-tell items from teachers that they couldn't believe their kids actually brought to school. One was like a pocket knife. I mean, you're talking about a five-year-old. And his show-and-tell item was like a pocket knife.
That doesn't surprise me too much.
No, me neither.
Can you imagine the meltdown when that kid opens up the shoebox to take out the hamster?
Yes!
Oh.
Everybody's totally freaking out because it's not only just the kid, but it's everybody else in class also.
That's his
Do you think the kid didn't tell his parents he was bringing the hamster in for show-and-tell and put it in like a Ziploc bag?
Or maybe the thing where, like, I don't know, maybe the hamster was alive when they put it in the shoebox?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and then
he killed it on the way to school because he didn't let it breathe.
Yes.
I'm just surprised that hamsters have come up twice on the show today already.
Yeah.
Random.
It's a little strange.
Well, it's Hamster Monday.
So I'm not even sure what we could get here because I've never been a teacher, but I've got to believe like 4, 5, 6-year-olds, they just don't have that filter on what's appropriate and what's not.
Well, I'm sure they'll bring, like, if they don't tell their parents, like, couldn't you just see like a 5-year-old bringing in like a pack of cigarettes?
Yes.
You know, like maybe every morning his mom gets up and he's standing near the window drinking her coffee, blowing the smoke out the window. So he brings in this
or
is
like
what my mom
bullet.
Does every morning. Yeah, right. Yeah. Handgun.
Playboy.
Right.
Didn't know. Good morning, Kate. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. So my mom's an elementary school teacher and she's been one for like 50,000 years. And so anyways, like last week, she had a bunch of kids come in, and they were doing show and tell, and one of them brought in a green modeling clay penis.
Oh, my God.
Who made it?
What?
It was a penis made out of, like, Play-Doh, and he just brought it in, and he couldn't understand why it was inappropriate. So.
Oh, no. Oh,
my God. Now, did he make it that way? Was he trying to make something else?
No, he was making a penis.
Oh, nope, he was fully aware he was making a penis.
That was his.
That was it.
Rodney, you're on Q100. Good morning.
How's it going?
Good, man. All right, inappropriate show-and-tell items you've seen.
Well, I have a friend whose 5-year-old son decided to take a nude photo of his mother to school to show the kids and the teacher.
A nude picture of his mother?
How did he get his hands on a nude photo of mom?
I guess he was searching around some of mom's belongings in her dresser drawer and happened to find them. I have no idea how he found them, but
you got to sort of get in the head of a kid, too. Like, who knows? Maybe it's one of these families where mom and dad walks around naked all the time. So in his head, everybody does it. So
right.
Just because he sees a couple of pictures of mom naked, like he always sees her, I'll bring him to school.
Yeah, how does a 5-year-old know that that's right or wrong?
Right. I love it. Thank you.
Yep.
Good morning, Q100.
Hi. I'm actually not a teacher, but my good friend is. And she had a little girl bring a kitten that she found at the bus stop to school one day.
But it was alive, though, right?
Oh, it was alive because the teacher kept hearing a noise, and apparently the kitten had gone to the bathroom all in her book bag. When they called the mom to pick it up, the mom said, "We don't even have a cat." So that's how they found out she had found some stray cat at the bus stop.
Well, that could have been a trick by mom to get rid of the kitten.
Well, it could have been, but she was very sincere that they did not have a cat. So, but it was funny.
And in a kid's mind, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning, Ashley. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
My mom is a teacher. And I'm not going to say the school because there could be some, like, legal issues involved. But one of the kids in her school, the parent is a police officer, and they take the dog at home, the drug dog. And they brought the drug dog to school for show and tell. And the show and tell drug dog sniffed out a parent who came to the school, and the parent was arrested.
Nicely done.
It's a great story.
Ah, that is great. Thank you.
The whole school stopped show and tell for the next year.
No doubt.
Why? I think that'd be great. Like, what?
That is hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Did the parent have, like, whatever the contraband that the dog sniffed, like, in its pocket or purse or something?
Apparently. I wasn't there, of course, but this is what I hear. It was kind of like a hush-hush situation, but I'm sure the parent had to have it on them if they were going to be sniffed out by the dog. I don't know.
That is
so funny.
Could you imagine that parent like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Like the last place in the world you think you're actually going to get
safe
busted?
Safe here, yeah. Oh, drug dog. Nice.
Good morning, Catherine. You're on Q100. Inappropriate
hey,
show and tell
how
item.
How are y'all?
Good.
Well, I actually brought this in when I was in fourth grade. My brother was kind of like a big pyromaniac, and I'm a big animal lover. And at 5 or 6 years old, I wanted to buy ferrets really bad for some reason. And so my brother gave me fireworks to sell at school to make money to buy ferrets.
Shut up.
I have no idea why.
How old were you?
And I was like 6 or 7. I was in fourth grade. And so they ended up, somebody told on me, and they gave me in-school suspension at like 6 years old.
Oh, no.
And it was awful, and what? I had no idea why. All I was thinking was like, I want to buy ferrets. I'm a big animal lover.
What grade did you say you were in?
I was in fourth.
You wouldn't be 6 or 7 then.
However old I was. Can't keep track of those things.
Yeah, who remembers?
Yeah, details.
But so they gave me in-school suspension along with the kid that I sold the fireworks to.
Oh.
My mom reamed my brother out pretty good.
No doubt. Susan, you're on Q100.
So week, it was the Drug Awareness Week at school, so show and tell time came, and a kindergartner went home and brought the show and tell, and when it was his turn, it was a big bag of pot.
No. Are you kidding?
What did he say it was?
He said it was mommy. So when mommy came to pick him up, the police were there.
Oh.
And now mommy's in jail because it was a large bag of pot.
No.
Like dealer quantity?
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
And what is that, Johnny? Well, this is called a kilo.
He didn't know.
From a place called Columbia.
Oh, I love the innocence in that. Look what my mommy has at home.
Scott, you're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, when my last name is Hooks, and when I was a kid, my dad had this hat that said "Support your local hooker" on it, and everyone called my dad Hooker, so I thought that was the coolest thing. I took it to school and. You know, needless to say, I was called into the principal's office and learned very early what a hooker was.
So your show and tell item was a support your local hooker hat?
Yeah, and I just thought it was related to my last name.
Oh. Alicia, be careful with yours.
I will.
Go ahead.
Underneath my bed, I keep personal toys in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And my son found them as he was looking for something one day. This was a couple years ago. And he, I told him it was something that I used to hold batteries.
Uh-huh.
And so about a month later, he took it to school for show and tell as a battery holder.
No way.
So luckily, the teacher saw it before he presented it. I got a very embarrassing telephone call.
That is beautiful.
From school. So awesome. Just so, you know, a lesson, don't keep your personal belongings underneath your bed.
Don't leave your battery holders underneath your bed.
Exactly.
Thank you.
That's a good name, too.
Hey, The Bird Show.